Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business insurance, they find you the right insurance that fits you, and they do so for the best price, and they are your advocate every step of the way. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Saturday was the Iron Bowl. Do you realize when Auburn is ranked, when Auburn has 9 wins or better and ranked in the top 10, Nick Saban is now 0-7 against them as a head coach? Did you know that? Including this one on Saturday. Here's Rob Bramlett on the Auburn Radio Network.
This time Sidham fakes it, keeps it around left end. He has a block. He's at the 10, cuts it up, 5. He scores! Touchdown, Auburn! Jared Stidham on the keeper for 16 yards, and the Tigers lead 26-14. The Auburn Tigers, for the second time in 3 weeks, have defeated number one. Tonight it's the Alabama Crimson Tide, 26-14. Auburn, the Tigers are your SEC Western Division champions.
Indeed they are, and they'll probably be ranked, I would guess, fourth in the college football playoff rankings that come out tomorrow night. How'd you like that call on touchdown Auburn? Did you hear that, Sean?
Really cool.
Who did that sound like when he did that?
Oh, I see where you're going with that. You harken back to them Friday nights in Sunbury?
Yeah. I wonder who stole it from whom.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if touchdown Shekelemi was stolen by Rob Bramlett or whether the suit stole that from Rob Bramlett.
Hmm.
It's an interesting question.
Inquiring minds want to know now.
One that Nathan Davis does not care about. All right, so let's bring him in.
I love college football.
I know you do. Welcome to the show, Coach. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I want to start with Zach Thomas. What has allowed him? You want games to be made in the offseason, become better players. Why has he become a better scorer and a better rebounder this year?
Well, I think he was here this summer doing a project for his major in biomedical engineering, so he got to be in our weight room with our strength coach basically every day, and so he got a lot stronger. He's in better shape. So you're a lot different when you're 22 years old from when you're 18, too, as far as maturity level goes. Yeah. So he's got a great feel for what's going on the court now as well.
When you watch him out there right now, is he playing with a maturity that you hoped he would?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I think you look at last night's game, he has 38 points, and it's hard to say 38 was quiet, but it was relatively quiet, 38, and that nothing was forced. He wasn't taking bad shots. He wasn't trying too hard to score. I mean, he found a way to still have 7 assists. At the same time, he was kind of letting it come to him. And when he was open, it went in.
Well, that always helps, by the way. I mean, that's the other part. Oh, yeah. That's what I mean, every time people hear, well, look, I mean, we have to make shots, right? And we get open shots. And right? People don't realize sometimes it is that simple.
It's Jeff Van Gundy says it all the time about the NBA. It's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss game. The team that gets the most good shots is probably the team that's going to make the most shots, and that's who's going to win.
I watched your game with Maryland. Obviously a tough one to lose by 2. But now Now you've won 3 in a row, though. So what have been some of the common threads in this 3-game winning streak that may be an offshoot of how tough the early schedule was?
Well, I think the thing that stands out from my standpoint is in those first four games, we were being other teams were making more free throws than we were attempting. No, three games we won, it's been flipped. I think that's really one of the biggest things.
How well are you now playing defensively? Because you know what the defensive points per possession happen to be right now, but part of that's a product of the competition. Are you playing better defensively now?
At times, I think our biggest issue defensively is just consistency. For instance, like yesterday against Stony Brook, we were very good first half in the first four or five possessions of the second half. And then whether we lost interest, lost concentration, we started making some mistakes we hadn't made, and then they got a little bit of run, and we had trouble getting stopped. So I think the biggest thing for us is just to be more consistent. We've got to be more consistent at that end as far as our concentration effort goes.
What about the losing interest part? I mean, you and I both know they're 18 to 22. It is entirely possible when it happens. But how disheartening is that for a coach where you've got to re-engage them in a game?
Well, I think it's frustrating because you know what we're capable of. They know what we're capable of. I think a good thing, I think part of it, from a good standpoint for us, is that we score pretty well.
And so
I think part of it comes back from we feel like we're going to score a lot of points and we relax a little bit. At the same time, with the teams we're playing, especially moving forward here with St. Joe's on Wednesday and Vermont on Saturday and Northeastern and BCU and Richmond and LaSalle, that we can't have long walls where we aren't playing very well and expect to win games. So we've got to get it back to where we're being more consistent from the beginning to the end at both ends of the floor. I think some of it comes back to I might need to play some more guys longer minutes and shorten some other minutes like that. That could be part of it. We're looking at everything right now.
You're surprised Nana Fallon doesn't have more block shots, or sometimes is it because he has a reputation people don't want to challenge him?
I think that some of the latter. I think that we've been playing some really good people with some big guys that can go up high and finish.
Yeah.
And really, we have – he's been, with the way we played, like yesterday, the way they played, he spent a lot of time on the perimeter guarding guys because they step out from the basket, which is going to lower your block shot attempts too.
42 assists so far in seven games for Stephen Brown. Even with my Penn State education, that's six per game. Do you like the way he's distributing? Because right now you're talking about a guy that's got a 3.5-to-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah, I think that if I didn't, you'd have to examine my head. He's been really good with making decisions. He's not perfect. No one's perfect. But, I mean, we've got a lot, and I've got a lot of confidence with him and the ball in his hands that he's going to make the right play.
I want to get to Jimmy Sotos. You're looking at a guy that 14 of his 20 shot attempts happen to be threes, and he's made nine of them. Is this just a flat-out pure shooter?
You know what? He's much more dynamic than that. He's a good shooter who's capable of making a high volume of shots, but I think some of it goes back to he's taking good ones. And it helps when you have Stephen Brown and Nana Fallon and Zach Thomas on the floors. They're going to draw a significant amount of attention to stopping them. And because they're unselfish, they make a lot of guys look good, but he's certainly taking advantage of the opportunities. But Jimmy is going to be he is a good player. He is going to be a really, really good player here because he's good off the dribble. He's got great size as a 6'3 point guard that can play off the ball because of Stephen's playing some off the ball, but he's really a point guard. He's a good athlete. He finishes very well. He has some finishes every day where you're like, man, that's pretty high level. So, no, we're excited about him. He's been playing well. I think he's going to continue to play better. I don't know that shooting 64% from three is going to continue. I hope it does.
That's right.
And if he keeps getting the ones he's getting, there's a chance it will because he is a good shooter. But I think that he's going to start getting a lot more attention here moving forward.
Are you still mixing and matching some lineups just trying to see how it works? Or through seven games, have you as a coach started to settle in on what combinations you like out there?
No, we're still mixing and matching. And we're a little banged up with Avi Toomer out. Kimball's dealing with an injury. He's actually at a doctor right now trying to see what the next step for him should be. So he's been kind of on a minute limitation. We've been trying to stick to. Haven't done a great job with him, but been trying to. So. And then we've got some young guys that I'm still trying to work in and figure out what's going on and what our best combinations are and this and that. So it's still certainly a work in progress.
How tough is that, and is it something you can do in practice to feel good about it, or is it something in the end that can only happen in the game where you feel good about it?
It's a combination of both. I mean, a part of it is guys got to play well in practice and be consistent And then part of it is, you know, it's from my standpoint, when you've had so many guys around so long that you're comfortable with, it's easy, especially with the competition we're playing, to just rely on those guys and not let some guys play through some stuff as much. And I've probably got to do a better job as far as mixing lineups so there's some more balance with experienced guys and younger guys in there, and let some of those guys play through a little bit more than I have been.
You and I both know that a lot of coaching decisions are made out of trust. Who do you trust? Who do you trust in certain moments? What does it take to earn your trust as a coach?
Well, from my standpoint, the biggest thing is to do the things that don't hurt us is the first step. When you have Nana and Zach and Steven and those guys who you know, they're going to get a majority of your shots. So it's about being in position defensively, knowing your assignments, knowing what we're doing offensively. Can you feed the post? Can you space the floor? It's all those things come first, and then your offensive output is really secondary. Well, yeah, we want you to make shots and do all that stuff, but the other side is there's certain guys that deserve, and because of where they are, they're going to get more shots, and they need to get more shots. So you need to be able to perform at a level that's pretty high without needing to score.
There are obviously guys that were big-time players in high school that then develop into big-time players in your program. There are also others who are big-time players in their program, but then here they have to settle into a role. How tough is it sometimes for players to settle into a role, but how important is it for them to understand their role?
I think it's vital, and I think it's understandable. When you're talking about a Division I basketball player, or really a college basketball player, any level, all those guys were all county or all league or all something somewhere. And for most of their life, they've probably been the best, if not the best, one of the two or three best on their team where they're going to get a lot of shots. And learning how to play without that being the focal point of your role is challenging at times. And some guys figure it out sooner. Some guys take a while. Some guys become that as time goes on. I think that's one of the great challenges each year for every team is guys figuring out roles and defining roles and those types of things.
In your initial read on St. Joe's and Phil Martelli's team, what are you seeing?
I wish I could say otherwise, but they're good.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you look at what they've done. They've played people that the casual fan may not realize. Toledo's got a good team. University of Illinois Chicago's got a good team. Harvard's got a good team. These games have all been on the road for them. Their only home game has been Princeton. They've actually played fewer home games than we have at this point. So we know the competition they've been playing against. We know how talented they are. They've got good size. Their bigs really shoot it. Coach Martelli, obviously, he's been around. He does a great job. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to be chomping at the bit. So we've got our work cut out for us Wednesday night.
Hey, good luck on Wednesday. Absolute pleasure. I hope there was a point you can enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Maybe in May. But
okay. Sound like my household.
That's right.
Thanks, Nathan. Right. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Good luck Wednesday down in Philly.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Head basketball coach Nathan Davis of Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We think we're on to something here. What order do you want to do this, Sean? I'll let you pick. Want to play...
I got both of them ready.
Let's see. What would be more fair? Okay, let's play the suit first.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. This touchdown Shikalimi, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdown!
Now Rob Bramlett of Auburn.
Touchdown, Auburn!
Let's do that again. If you could control yourself.
Touchdown, Shikalimi! Touchdown!
My goodness, I feel like we have clones.
Kevin Bramlett. Rob Herr. Wait a minute. Whoa. I got him sitting down. Good ear.
All I know is I heard that, I started to get the shakes. It was really... you know the big difference is Roger only has to deal with one of them.
It's like the which came first, the chicken or the egg scenario.
That's true. Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. I mean, who else in the staff thinks of this stuff?
Someone has to. It might as well be you and me.
It might as well be us.
Everyone else in the building can hold it down.
Yeah.
We come up with the thought-provoking stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You think that only happens from 8:30 to 10 in the morning? No.
No. Oh, contraire, mon frère. I mean, seriously. I hear stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second here. Who is impersonating whom here? You know, we ought to see if Rob, for example, I mean, maybe he drove through the valley once. Maybe if Penn State plays Auburn in a bowl game, maybe we should have Rob on the show, and maybe we should find out where he stole that call from.
I don't know if we can wait that long. I mean, if Auburn happens to get into the Final Four, but you know, we'll have to try to line him up by the end of next month.
There's no way. I mean, the suit is an American original. So there's no way he copied Rob Bramlett. It had to be the other way around. And there's no way this is a coincidence. I know what you think. I don't think it can be a coincidence. I mean, when you heard that, didn't you think that?
They're eerily similar.
Eerily? Okay, do it one more time.
Okay, Auburn.
Touchdown, Auburn!
And the pride and joy of Danville.
Touchdown, Shikalimi!
It sounds like it's the same guy. Maybe, you know, where was the suit this weekend? Maybe we should ask that question instead.
I know a portion of the weekend he was in Reading, so.
Are you sure?
He did text me during the Steelers game last night. I was kind of surprised. It threw me off. Then he goes, I'm still in Reading. And I was like, oh, that he had to take Suit Light back to school. But it was pushing halftime last night. I mean, it was going on 9:30, and so I texted him back. He's like, do you have off work tomorrow? You coming in? He said, yeah. And I go, you better get home, man. Sure. I said, he hasn't kicked you out yet?
The
fraternizing with the roommates?
The all-night kegger was still going on. My goodness.
Sprint to finals?
Well, I mean, I had tickets to last night's game. And I was going to go, but Jack sort of talked me out of it. Because I wanted to go last night because he was one of the 25 guys honored last night.
I wish NBC would have put a little more time into that. But, hey, they got other stuff they have to put on. But they at least had a shot of everybody lined up in the end zone. And
right there. Like what?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like what? I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, like what? I mean, that's why I'm asking myself these days when I watch this stuff. Halftime, pregame, we got to analyze this, that, and thing. You know, do you have better options? Well, they do have better options. I'll be honest with you. There's certain things that are going on in our business right now where they feel like they're obligated to do certain things. You sit there and say, you know what, you don't have a feel for what's going on. And just because they're a network, I don't care what the letters of it happen to be, that doesn't mean you have a good feel for what's going on. And that's one of the biggest problems at ESPN right now. Their feel for how to do things is a little lost right now.
Well, their 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. pregame on Sunday. Boy, their ratings are not off to a great start for this season compared to
Their ratings, I mean, they're down 14.7% on their pregame show from the year before.
And I have a feeling later this week we could have some more dire news from the four-letter.
Which, obviously, I don't want to see. That's not...
No, we don't either.
I mean, you know, we don't take... You and I take zero satisfaction out of that. Zero. Zero. I mean, I take no joy at all in somebody else losing their job. Are you kidding me? None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Just the way we are, man. You know, some people seem to take joy in it. And look internally. How would you feel?
Sunbury Motors Ford knows it's the holiday season, and you need a dependable vehicle, but also need as much money left in your pocket as possible. Let's be honest. If somebody gives you way too much for your piece of junk trade or cash just for buying a car, who do you think is paying for it?
You are!
Come see why SMC has been selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Pick from over 100 2017 Ford F-Series trucks. Priced as low as $24,997. Choose from 42 2017 four-wheel drive Escapes slashed as low as $19,975. At SMC, take $3,500 off all remaining 2017 Ford Explorers and get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Don't believe everyone else's hype. Sunbury Motors always gives you huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing options. And with over four city blocks of new Fords, they have what you're looking for. Sunbury Motors Ford in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. I mean, decades. You're talking about insurance needs for so many customers. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. And they're the experts in insurance. They know what to look for. They know what pricing range to look for. They know what coverage to look for. Oh, and by the way, if something happens, they kick it into another gear just for you because the customer comes first. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Pleasure to be with you today. Penn State coming off a really good season. I know that they, obviously somebody at Maryland asked me before the game, well, you know, how disappointing. Like I said, look, I said, it's not once you go through something, what do you make of it in the end? I said, well, what they've made of it is a 3-game winning streak in the end where they blew out 3 different teams that looked like a better football team in doing it. You know, what do you do with it? Do you sulk and then go into a funk and then not really play well? Or do you go out and you play well? Well, Penn State went out and down the stretch, played really well. Best opponents? No. But they weren't close games either. I don't care. The Nebraska, I don't care what they did in the fourth quarter. I could care less. Right? But not one of the 3 games close. Now let's get into something else that's interesting. The agents for these coaches have done a brilliant job of buyouts. Listen to these buyouts, Sean. You're going to love it. Todd Graham, fired at Arizona State. You want to know what his buyout is, Sean? Just take a wild stab.
I'll just say $5
million. Too low.
$7.5 million.
Too low.
13.
close. $12.3 million is his buyout at Arizona State.
I'll tell you, a lot of Pitt fans were aching and waiting for that to happen for a long time.
Right. But that's not the end of it. The three coordinators, offense, defense, special teams, they're owed combined buyouts of $2 million. I mean, Phil Bennett, the defensive coordinator's buyout is $812,000. He's the coordinator. $812,000. Mike Riley, Nebraska. Guess what his buyout is?
$9
million. A little bit high, $8.3 million. Hmm. Remember that at the moment, Nebraska is still paying Bo Pelini $1.5 million a year. Bo hadn't coached there in a while. Brett Bielema, Arkansas, $5.9 million, the buyout. How about that? I mean, these are just buyouts.
I just wonder, out of those three coaches you just mentioned, which one will get a job first?
Well, first of all, the guy I think that will get a job first is the guy I did mention. I don't know what the buyout of Kevin Sumlin is. I think Kevin Sumlin might
If you add him and make it four, yeah, I think then Kevin Sumlin would get a job first, sure.
I think and it might be Arizona State that goes after Kevin Sumlin. But look at all of the buyout money being paid out.
How soon did Dan Mullen get snuffed up by Florida? That had to have been less than 24 hours, wasn't it? I think.
That is some league. You know how many bowl games I've done where John Chavis has been the defensive coordinator? Three. Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. Not with the same, all in the same conference, not the same team each time. Can you believe that? I mean, the SEC treats football like the pros do. One guy can be defensive coordinator at three different places. I mean, you don't see that in other conferences. That didn't happen anywhere else. Dan Mullen leaves Mississippi State. Now, he was the OC at Florida under Urban at 1.4. He took the Mississippi State job, and he did a good job at Mississippi State. I mean, look, the world now knows about Dak Prescott. Dan Mullen knew before anybody else. But it's amazing how coaches jump from school to school in that conference. Now, I don't know what Jim McElwain's buyout was. But remember, here's what's hard right now. Except for maybe Campbell at Iowa State. And then, I guess Chip Kelly, who was a free agent. What hot name is there out there in coaching? Who's the red hot person? Who? It seems like right now you're dealing with interchangeable parts. Tennessee still has an opening. I don't know what Butch Jones is going to do. I mean, you're going to sense that he would not go to another Power 5 school, that if there was an opening someplace else, he might go. I'm talking about at least initially, with the idea you can work your way back to a Power 5 school. But what do you do? Again, there's no hot name out there that everybody feels they have to have. Nobody. Guy like Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma would have been, except Bob Stoops left in June. Okay. And then there's the Gus Malzahn situation. Gus Malzahn, there's been stories about Arkansas wanting to woo Gus Malzahn away from Auburn. Now, you're sitting there. You're sitting there And you're saying, well, why? I mean, why would he leave Auburn? My goodness, it's unbelievable. But you got to remember, his tenure at Auburn has been mixed in terms of fan reaction. I want to take everybody back to that game a year ago of LSU and Auburn. The game was at Jordan-Hare. And remember that LSU thought they scored in the final play of the game, but they got the playoff about a half second too late, maybe a full second, half second to a full second too late. It was nullified. Remember that one, Sean? And after the game, Les Miles got fired. That's the game they fired him. The rumor had been that whomever had lost, it was only a rumor, whomever lost that game was the one that was going to be fired. Now, that's a little more than a year ago. Well, Gus Malzahn may have been a half second away from being fired. Early this season, after Auburn had lost twice to Clemson and then lost and had actually fouled up a decent lead at LSU, there was some talk that that's probably, that might, you know, that Gus Malzahn was on the hot seat. Hey, that's this year. Well, if you're Gus Malzahn, through your agent, you look at whomever and say, look, I want this, 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 and this. And whomever comes up with this, 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 and this is where I'm going to be coaching. When you're constantly, I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure in these jobs to begin with. But if people are going to start playing games with your job and you have an opportunity at hand to be preemptive, do it.
Yeah, I remember last year on the Saturday morning of the final weekend of the regular season. I mean, the games didn't even kick off yet that day, and you hear the story about, you know, Tom Herman being the next new head coach of Texas. And what happens a couple of days ago, I mean, it's barely 11 o'clock Saturday morning, you hear about Mike Riley getting fired, and then the Chip Kelly story broke. It's just amazing. It's like the NFL has Black Monday, like the day after the regular season. So it's almost kind of wonder if we're going to come up with some kind of a title of a specific day for college football.
Well, you know what, though, Sean? There's more of a reason why it's happening this year faster than it has in past years. And that's because of the early signing day. The early signing day is December 20th. It's only 23 days away. It's 3 weeks from Wednesday. So it's 23 days away. Well, you have players, high school players, that have already verbally committed to a program. Now, they verbally committed to the previous coaching staff, but they have verbally committed. Well, they need to know who's going to be coaching there and whether or not they should keep that commitment or reopen their recruitment and try and hook on someplace else. But that early signing date, which this year is December 20th, is going to be something I think that becomes a determining factor of earlier dismissals moving forward or earlier commitments to keeping coaches moving forward. And it's going to be in part because of that early signing date. You can't afford to sit there now in the first week of January and be looking for a head football coach. You really can't. Yeah, you still have a late signing date, but what's left? I mean, what's left at that point? Because you're going to have to release all... I mean, seriously, you're going to have to... As far as I'm concerned, the only honorable thing to do is to release the commitments that you got on December 20th. It's the only honorable thing to do. I mean, they asked Trace McSorley about and Grant Haley about Vanderbilt. And they both said, geez, if there was an early signing day, we both would have signed. Made you think a little bit. It's amazing. But that's going to be a major determining factor as to how quickly they let people go. But the buyout numbers, 12.3 Todd Graham, $2 million for the coordinators, $5.9 million Brett Bielema, $8.3 million Mike Riley. Oh, and then you have transfers too. You hear about the transfers. Wilton Spade is going to grad transfer out of Michigan, the quarterback. And Demaryius Croft, the starting quarterback at Minnesota, turned in his oar today and said he's going to row someplace else. These are the starting quarterbacks.
I'm surprised about Wilton Spade. I mean, obviously, there's information I'm not aware of. I would have thought he'd be, you know, firmly entrenched and at least go back for one more year at Michigan just because of the fact of all the time he, you know, missed this year with being hurt with his back.
Yeah, well, he's going to transfer. It's going to be a grad transfer, which means he can play right away. Now, Demaryius Croft doesn't have that. His option may be to go to an FCS school. Excuse me. Well, I thought those were two interesting ones today. Now, Minnesota's not going to a bowl game. But I think P.J. Fleck, it's interesting because Jack Ham called me over the summer. They had that that reality show being P.J. Fleck on. Remember that?
Yeah, I did catch, if there was more than one episode, I caught one of them on Big Ten Network. Yeah.
Yeah, well, evidently,
I watched like 30 minutes of one, and there was a portion of it where he had a construction hat on going through a portion of a new football facility that's being built there on campus.
Yeah. Well, he just got a contract extension through 2022. Okay. Now, they won 9 games last year before he got there. This year, they won 5. Okay. And Jack did not like the show. He called, "Have you seen this?" I said, "No, I haven't seen it." He said, "No, you got to watch it. I want to know what you think. You got to watch it." I said, okay. So I just happened upon it, I think, the day after Jack called me about it. I'm like, okay. And I watched it, and he was lecturing business leaders on winning teamwork. I'm sitting there, I'm like, he's 35 years old. I'm looking around at a guy going, "I'm almost 60. Thanks. I don't need to hear your advice." In fact, want me to pull aside and give you some advice in terms of practical experience in life? Or I called him up the next day. I said, "I see what you mean." He goes, "Oh." 35. We'll lecture all on, business leaders.
I don't know who posted it on Twitter, but I found it over the weekend. And someone had said, "Yeah, how many people in Minnesota are going to continue to, quote-unquote, buy that snake oil?"
Look, I don't really know the guy. I mean, but sometimes somebody can be too much. Sometimes somebody can be too much. Now, it's only 1 year for him. Now, one thing about Kevin Sumlin was at Texas A&M 5 years. Todd Graham was at Arizona State 5 years. So you now do know what a full program looks like with them and also how they work with others. One thing about Todd Graham is that he did develop a reputation of being a guy that was not easy to work for or work with. Remember, the athletic director at Arizona State did not hire him. So there are certain elements that do come into play. So from the outside looking in, you wonder about that. But he's also was there 5 years. Okay? So then, you do now have an indication of what the program is. And you do have an indication as to what he's like to work with. But remember, the AD, the current one, did not hire him. So if you're not playing well with others and it's not, quote, your kind of guy, it does enter into it. But the buyout numbers, like Jack always tells me, he says, nothing like the word suspended with pay. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put 4 generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Do you realize Penn State, the last seven games of the season on third down was 49.4%? Remember what a gripe that was about Penn State? They couldn't get a job done in third down. It did carry over into the early part of this year. Last seven games, Sean, they were 49.4% on third down. Amazing. Penn State couldn't get out of the gate. All right. 12 games, Penn State scored in its opening drive of the game 7 out of 12 times this year. All 7 were touchdowns. Second half. Penn State's opening drive of the second half, 6 out of 12, 5 of them touchdowns. So there's certain things that they have solved along the way that has made a difference. Now we await the bowl fate, and we'll find out on Sunday. And there's a very good chance that Penn State ends up in a New Year's Six bowl. But let's see how Saturday, Friday night and Saturday play out. Tomorrow here in the studio, Wednesday show will be in North Carolina. Friday show will be in Iowa. It's nice to be home. Oh my goodness. Yeah, they're leaving for Iowa at 11 a.m. on Friday.
Fingers crossed.
Nah, the weather's supposed to be nice. We're all good.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.